What's good, everybody? This is Abstract Dynasty, the show where we use stats, theory, and experience to challenge consensus, unearth value, and hone our craft as Dynasty players. I'm AJ, coming at you with the deep dive no one asked for, but one you might want to peep. We're playing slot or not with the wide receiver position. But before I do, if you enjoy, don't forget to like and share the show. Follow us on Twitter at Abstract Dynasty. Hit up the comments and reviews. Let me know what you want to hear. If you need roster or trade advice, you have ideas for the show. But without further ado, let's talk shop. So, I've been trying to get this episode out for quite a while. I had some real life shit I needed to take care of and some other important headlines that I had to touch on. The impetus of this episode was pretty much based on CeeDee Lamb's usage coming out of the slot last year for the Dallas Cowboys and what I would project for him going forward. But as these things often happen, went down the rabbit hole and really did a deep dive on what it means for a wide receiver to be a slot wide receiver and how that stacks up for fantasy. So for those of you who don't know what a slot wide receiver is, it's a wide receiver that lines up about a yard off of the line of scrimmage, usually between the boundary receiver and the edge of the formation. And the reason that teams do this is that a slot receiver does two things. The first is that it gives this wide receiver a two-way go for releasing off the line into their routes. Boundary corner can kind of use the sideline to help guard against deep routes. Guys playing press or at least bail, they can sometimes try to work their receiver into the sideline to make a tougher catch. But with a slot receiver, you can stutter and go pretty much any direction you want. And the other thing it does, lining up a yard off the line of scrimmage like that makes it harder for DBs to press wide receivers at the line and throw off route timing. So you give up that little bit of ground to gain ground later, And ultimately, these two things just put a lot of stress on a defense to stop offenses on high leverage downs like third down, red zone, 2-minute drill. It's really, really hard for a defense to zero out slot receivers, regardless of skill, just because of the nature of defending that position. And that's why slot receivers are very much in vogue right now. So much so that a lot of the elite wide receivers are spending more time in the slot than they ever have before. Really, what this boils down to for fantasy is targets. Targets, targets, targets. Because it's so hard for defenses to cover the slot consistently game to game, a lot of times the guy that's open all the time is the slot receiver and usually has a good shot at leading his team in targets. So what I did is I went back and I dug up the last 5 years of wide receiver data for fantasy, pulled out the top 36 finishers since 2016, meaning you finished as a wide receiver 3 or better. And then I separated them all by the percentage of targets that they actually took from the slot. Now, as a disclaimer, I originally wanted to use a 50% slot share as the cutoff, but it didn't reflect some of the major wide receivers. Ended up lowering it. That's where the natural data splice happened. Most wide receivers that spend a lot of time in the slot aren't hovering between that mid 35%. So the actual cutoff is around 39%. And the reason I did this is to make the data set as inclusive as possible and not just an arbitrary cutoff to support my narrative. In other words, I'm playing fair with the data. And if you want to take a look at this, I'll probably link it either in the description or in a comment or something wherever this is posted. So you can definitely peep it for yourself. And when I split this up, I found some really interesting stuff. So I stacked up all these wide receivers, split them up by percentage of targets in the slot, charted their fantasy finishes over the last 5 years, whether finishing as a 1, 2, or 3, or not at all. Over the past 5 years, there have been about 10 slot receivers that you would consider in some level elite. Robert Woods and Keenan Allen are the only wide receivers to finish top 15 and have at least a 39% slot share in 3 straight seasons or more, which is surprisingly rarefied air when we're talking about all of these receivers. And it makes sense. Woods is the solid, dependable, always disrespected fringe wide receiver one that he's been since he's been with the Rams. And same thing with Keenan Allen. He's very rarely ever in the same breath as the traditional elite receivers, but always gets peppered with targets, is always productive, and always finishes really high in that fringe wide receiver one territory. So the rest of the names I'm going to list out are varying levels of wide receiver value, but all join Woods and Keenan Allen as receivers that have had 3 seasons or more of around 39% of their targets come from the slot. First one is Tyreek Hill. most likely would have joined Woods and Allen if not for the broken collarbone in 2019. Tyreek is about as elite as it gets. And naturally, Tyreek being what he is, has kind of spearheaded the NFL to try to find the next Tyreek Hill. But what makes Tyreek Hill so good is that he does play around 40 to 50% of his snaps in the slot, but he's so freaking fast and shifty in his route running that he's able to stretch defenses vertically better than most other slot wide receivers are. And that's why he's finished as a wide receiver 1-3 out of the last 5 years, with 2016 being his rookie season. Juju Smith-Schuster, once upon a time, flirted with elite status. His profile on this is kind of weird because aside from his own disastrous 2019, he's been a top 20 wide receiver the other 3 years of his career and is a perfect 4-for-4 on slot percentage for his career. Yes, Juju's a known commodity, arguably lacks some ceiling, but is always relevant because of the target share he gets and because of the touchdowns, which conveniently often fill in for the lack of ceiling games that he has from time to time. Cooper Kupp is actually very similar to Juju, with that 1 year gap right in the middle of his career. Juju has finished as wide receiver 23-8 and then didn't finish as a top 36 in 2019, popped back up to wide receiver 16 this year in 2020. Kupp is from the same draft class as Juju, which is weird to think about, but finished as wide receiver 25, and then tore an ACL, came back and finished as wide receiver 4-19, settled as wide receiver 26 in 2020. And again, one of the best things about Cooper Kupp has been his target share. The Rams, like the Steelers, have had some bumps in the road recently at the quarterback position, but is usually a safe bet to put up a decent outing on any given week. Tyler Lockett is an outlier in just about every way. Broke out as a rookie in 2015, I think, for 7 touchdowns, capped off an unspectacular 2016 with a broken leg, rehabbed that, made it back for 17, wasn't quite the same scoring threat that he was in 2015, and he kind of leveled off from there, but promptly inherited the slot role from Doug Baldwin in 2018 and has been a fixture in the slot 3 straight seasons. So his career arc is actually really weird looking. And it's funny because Tyler Lockett is more in the Tyreek mold than he is the Cooper Kupp mold, because he does have that deep speed and can threaten downfield. But the thing with Tyler Lockett is he's also known for his susceptibility to the peaks and valleys that seem to come with every Seahawks player. Can feel a little boom bust at times. Tyler Boyd is about as pure slot as it gets in the NFL. Has never dropped below 64% slot share, same in terms of raw snaps in the slot. Hasn't enjoyed the same success as Juju and Cooper Kupp, which comes with being on a bottom five offense in the Cincinnati Bengals. Was down a full 200 yards this year compared to his breakout 2018, despite nearly identical receptions and usage. And it's worth noting that 2018 was also the last season he played with prime AJ Green before injuries caught up with him. They've since moved on from Andy Dalton to Joe Burrow, and Tyler Boyd just quietly puts up solid reception totals, but again, lacks that ceiling and upside. Very hard to get people excited for Tyler Boyd, especially with Jamar Chase coming in, but that's beside the point. Jarvis Landry, kind of waning, if we're being honest, one of the few players to actually fall from grace after leaving the clutches of Adam Gase. If you look back at Adam Gase's career, slot wide receivers always thrive under him. Talk about Jamison Crowder. I mean, even Wes Welker when he was with Peyton Manning. And during his time in Miami, Jarvis Landry was the definitive PPR stud under Adam Gase when he was the coach there. Not as good as it used to be for him, but is again rock solid, albeit unexciting wide receiver 3. Very similar to Tyler Boyd in that way. And the last two here would be Larry Fitzgerald and Julian Edelman. Slot relics that have since relinquished the torch to the new era of slot receivers. But when these guys were at the peak of their powers in the slot, they were as solid as they come. Now, the reason I listed all those names out is that if you're just talking about fantasy value, it's Tyreek Hill and everyone else. Aside from Tyreek, not many of those names are really in the breadth of elite. And while some guys pop in with momentary success in the top ends of wide receiver finishes, they very rarely stay there for one reason or another. but it does leave something to be desired in terms of building a roster with any one of these guys as a core piece other than Tyreek. So is being a slot receiver suboptimal for fantasy? The short answer is no, because obviously in the hypothetical example, receiver X catches one pass for 20 yards. That's 3 fantasy points in full PPR. And receiver Y catches 2 passes for 20 yards. That's 4 points in full PPR. By virtue of format, as long as you have volume on your side, you need fewer big plays to amount to a good fantasy outing. It's just about opportunity. So what is a slot receiver for fantasy? Well, honestly, it's really damn good floor. Of all the slot receivers that I charted over the past 5 years, 60.6% of all slot receivers that finished in the top 36 finished as wide receiver 2s or better. And in half point, that's 62.1%. The only slot elites to never finish as a wide receiver 2 are Cole Beasley and Jamison Crowder, which sounds about right. You would probably put both of those guys underneath all the rest of the guys that I listed before. Where the slot seems to be coming into play is finishes as wide receiver 1s. Only 38% of the slot wide receivers finished as wide receiver 1s and 29.2% of them in half point. If a slot receiver does finish as a top 12 wide receiver, there's only a few instances of him ever repeating. Other than Tyreek, you've had Doug Baldwin repeat once, Larry Fitzgerald repeat once, and Lockett has repeated twice. And while Keenan Allen and Robert Woods have come close to repeating, they haven't been back to that status. The other trend I'm seeing is that there were only 3 slot elites in 2016 that finished as wide receiver 1. But that number of finishers increased by 1 per season until 2018. Then it spikes up in 2019. 8 of the 12 possible wide receiver 1s finished so with 39% or more of their targets coming from the slot, which is crazy. Only for it to crater in 2020 back down to 3. So I would say that as far as slot wide receivers go, there's some room for positive regression here because we've only seen an increase of number 1 wide receivers being slot wide receivers until 2020. Now the rest of the wide receiver elites, the Nuke Hopkins, the Devontae Adams, the Michael Thomases, they've all dabbled in the slot, but generally don't exceed the 33 to 35% range. With the exception of that 2019 outlier for slot wide receivers, the elite wide receivers are more often finishing top 12 predominantly as outside wide receivers, but there are reasons for this. The slot can also be used to protect certain wide receivers, in a sense, from press man coverage. And that's where you get your late stage Larry Fitzgerald, your Edelmans, your Landrys, your Boyds. They're great receivers, but they do have physical limitations. Whether it's in terms of technique or just athletic ability on the perimeter, there's a reason they spend this much time in the slot. That's not a knock. It's just that's where they succeed and that's where the teams are going to keep them. So when you have an elite wide receiver like Stephon Diggs or Julio Jones or DK Metcalf, you can put them in the slot, but putting them in the slot changes the way the rest of the defense defends the rest of the field. If you don't have a secondary wide receiver that can win on the outside consistently, it can sometimes take away from the rest of your offense. If you are that good and you can survive one-on-one anywhere on the field, thereby frees up that slot spot for a Juju Smith-Schuster or a Cooper Kupp that can flirt with elite status, but you're probably never going to get that if they're forced to be on the outside all the time. Now, what you don't want to do with an elite is have someone like DeAndre Hopkins, who did take 39% of its targets from the slot in 2019, goes over to Arizona and then drops down below 10%. You definitely don't want that either, because that slot cheese, quote unquote, is still good for your wide receiver ones, which the fact that DeAndre Hopkins spent that much time outside and it really didn't even reflect his end of season totals is just a testament to how good he is. But the last thing I'll say about the slot is that based on the data, the majority of slot wide receivers that spend this much time in the slot do have a lower average depth of target than your boundary receivers, which just comes with the position. Only 2 wide receivers with 80 or more targets even cracked an average depth of target of 10 yards when aligned in the slot, and that's Tyreek and CeeDee Lamb, which I'll get to in a minute. What is the slot? The slot is a tool. The slot is often the fast track to volume. It's not a hindrance. It's not a handicap. But if you're expecting a slot wide receiver to finish as an elite top 12 option at the position, more often than not, that wide receiver needs to make up the difference with yards after contact or touchdowns. Each one of those targets that's shallow, you need to add value on. Either you're scoring with it or you're picking up extra yards and first downs. So no, slot targets aren't wholly less valuable than boundary targets, but there's also a reason why wide receivers like Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, and Calvin Ridley are all finishing as wide receiver ones year over year without actually being in the slot that much. The deep downfield targets are just more valuable per attempt. If you're looking to match that same output with a slot wide receiver, you can absolutely do it, but it needs to come in more target volume, yards after contact, or touchdowns. I'm sorry, not yards after contact, yards after catch. Before I get to CD, I'm just going to call out a few names of the slot wide receivers that I'm watching going forward that may or may not have crept into elite status yet. The first one, namely being Chris Godwin, finished as wide receiver 2 in 2019, struggled with injuries in 2020, and had only recently moved to the slot under Bruce Arians. In the scope of the data I was using, he technically didn't qualify as a slot elite, but he definitely is. And even with Antonio Brown there, I do expect him to once again be an easy wide receiver 2 with one upside. Emmanuel Sanders, sitting at the ripe age of 34 years old right now, is a major turnoff for most fantasy players, but has been quietly productive and has made the late career shift to slot, similar to Larry Fitzgerald. Has bounced around a little bit, lands with the Bills, and if Cole Beasley ends up not playing for issues about the COVID vaccine, the slot could be wide open. The Bills were actually reportedly a heavy suitor for Emmanuel Sanders back when he was traded to the Niners for their Super Bowl run, which left the Bills at the altar, but they're very interested in him. All the reports in camp saying that he's very much involved could be the shoe-in as the number 2 option in this offense. And even if Cole Beasley does play, he's not a compulsive must-be-on-the-field type of player. Sanders, despite his age, has been very good and could be a very sneaky wide receiver 3 for a contending team. Curtis Samuel, and by extension, all 3 of these other current or former Panthers receivers, Samuel was freed from misuse under Ron Rivera before his time in Carolina came to an end, was at one time being used as a deep threat and just really wasn't very good at it, probably through no fault of his own, you know, having Kyle Allen at quarterback and then asking Kyle Allen to throw you deep passes just is a recipe for disaster. Ultimately found success in the slot under Joe Brady this year, only to leave in free agency and reunite with Ron Rivera with the Washington football team. I sincerely hope that Rivera sees the difference in production from when he last had him to when Samuel was used heavily in the slot. So that is kind of a question mark. I hope he doesn't repeat the same mistakes, especially with the receivers they already have there. I don't think he'll be forced into a deep threat role, but Samuel specifically profiles as that hybrid slot role, which, much like the other Samuel in Deebo Samuel, these kind of guys are a dual threat type of wide receiver that can also take handoffs, either out of the backfield or jet sweeps, and are really good after contact. So that little dynamic can also be a shoe into extra touches. Samuel himself is on the PUP list right now with a groin injury, while the rest of the slot wide receivers on Washington football team are drawing praise. I know Deami Brown's been being used in the slot as well as Adam Humphries. Honestly, I think that just means good things for Curtis Samuel when he does come back, because if they're heavily featuring these guys in training camp and likely into preseason, the minute Curtis Samuel gets back out there, I would love him for some as a wide receiver 2 floor play. And with Samuel moving on, we'll talk about Robbie Anderson, mostly known for his deep threat ability as a Jet, but came over to the Panthers as a free agent last year, reuniting with Matt Rhule. They played together in Temple and took on more of a possession role and surprisingly cracked a 40% slot target share for the first time in his career. Paced the team in targets, and with Curtis Samuel moving on, I really don't see any world where Anderson doesn't mostly just take over a good portion of this slot share. I hate to say it to DJ Moore owners, but I think what we wanted from DJ Moore to inherit. Anderson kind of just came up and stole. You've heard of the always dependable Bobby Trees, Robert Woods. Here comes Robbie Trees. Anderson has really settled in year one in Carolina, now reconnecting with Darnold, who's coming over for the Jets, who also peppered the slot in his time there. Man, Robbie Anderson is great wide receiver value, and I'm scooping up pretty much anywhere I can. It's not a death knell for DJ Moore. DJ Moore is a very good player, but Anderson's probably the one there. And last guy I'm going to name is Darnell Mooney. Very popular sleeper this offseason. I'm sure you've seen the blooper reel now of Darnell Mooney roasting corners on deep balls and then getting overthrown by Mitchell Trubisky, one of them being Jalen Ramsey. Absolutely cooked him, but is primed for that second-year leap. Moonlighted in the slot a fair amount as a rookie. However, the fact that the Bears just traded away Anthony Miller to the Texans frees up slot work, because while Anthony Miller only drew 76 targets, 91.8% of them came from the slot. Slot work is wide open in the Bears offense right now. This is good for Allen Robinson, who's been popping between 30 and 40% share himself, but as well as Darnell Mooney. And let me tell you, Darnell Mooney's deep speed is friggin' real. I'm always very careful with my comps, but between the opportunity in the slot and who Matt Nagy was billed to be coming from Kansas City, being a budget Kansas City Chiefs offense, Darnell Mooney probably has the best shot to be the poor man's Tyreek Hill that we've been waiting for. Also think Tyler Lockett is probably the more realistic comp, but definitely trying to get Darnell Mooney anywhere I can before he pops off. Now, coming full circle, what does this actually mean for CeeDee Lamb in the Cowboys offense? If you haven't heard already, CeeDee Lamb handled 92.7% of all of his targets as a rookie from the slot. Now, that percentage is actually the highest in this window that I charted over this past 5 years. The next closest guy was Sterling Shepard as a rookie back in 2016, 89.3%. And other than these two, only Juju and Cooper Kupp saw 39% or more of their targets come from the slot as rookies. So we're already in very limited territory here. And just from an eyeball standpoint, CeeDee Lamb is head and shoulders of talent above all three of those other guys. He's a special player. We're all expecting a year two leap from CD. But the interesting variable is the Dallas Cowboys' current personnel. Michael Gallup is almost exclusively a boundary wide receiver. And Amari Cooper is very established in his own right, arguably an elite receiver, and has never cracked 30% of his targets from the slot in any year of his career. I'm very interested to see how CD progresses in year two, because I'm not really sure I want to see Michael Gallup as a slot receiver. He's very good at one thing, and that's running deep and catching contested balls. If he can get better in the slot, maybe that frees some things up for CD on the outside, but as it stands right now, CD could be locked into the slot. If we're being completely honest, if he comes into camp and is showing out like it looks like he is on Twitter, he could easily push Amari Cooper into the slot if push came to shove. The point being, all three of these Dallas wide receivers last year finished with over 100 targets. So if, God forbid, CeeDee Lamb is forced to staying in the slot for year two, not even remotely worried about it. With Dak back, even though he's dealing with a small injury right now, should be fine. This Dallas Cowboys offense is an elite offense in the making right now. And between the volume coming his way, the scoring opportunity that I'm expecting for this team, as I had said before, he's one of the only two wide receivers last year with 80 targets that even had an average depth of target above 10. CeeDee Lamb has the Chris Godwin, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Cooper Kupp wide receiver one finish in his range of outcomes. And the fact that he spent so much time in the slot as a rookie has no bearing on this guy's potential. And as if he wasn't being billed highly enough, Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper are already dealing with injuries here in the middle of camp. Amari Cooper himself is on the PUP list. You can't line things up any better for CeeDee Lamb right now. If you're looking to acquire him now, he's going to be expensive, but this is the last time that you're going to be able to get him for the price that he's going to yield next year. and with Michael Gallup being in a contract year and the Dallas Cowboys having an out of Amari Cooper's contract next year if they absolutely have to, CD could cement himself as the one very easily, even if he's quote-unquote stuck as just a slot wide receiver. So enough slot shaming CD Lamb. Guy's going to be a stud. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, I'm out. Keep grinding.